Welcome to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, your host. Midterm elections are just weeks away, and we're going to be interviewing candidates running for the seat held by outgoing U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell. And joining us today is former Attorney General Daniel Cameron, one of the top-tier candidates running to replace Senator McConnell. And Daniel, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Richard, it's always a delight to be with you and to be with your listeners and viewers as well. The Commonwealth Policy Center obviously does a tremendous amount of work to be what I always refer to as in the arena, Christians and biblical views and perspective in the arena. So I applaud you and appreciate you for that, my friend.
Thank you for those kind words. And just for the record, for those tuning in, I did not pay Daniel to say any kind things. I will receive those gratefully, but thank you. That's very, very kind of you. Daniel, as we had talked off air, this is going to be kind of a mini candidate forum. For various reasons, we were not able to get all of the top tier candidates on a forum together. And look, you're all busy. You've got schedules and events, and that just wasn't possible. So we decided to do individual interviews, and we're going to turn them into mini forums. And what that means is that you will have a 1 minute opening statement, as we talked about. You'll have a 2 minute closing statement. And then we're going to try to cover as much ground as possible. And you'll have up to a minute to cover these various issues. Now, don't have a timer here, so we are going to do our best to try to cover a lot of ground. And I appreciate you rolling with it. So with that said, you've got an opening statement of 1 minute, and the timer's on right now.
Well, Richard, as I've told you, and as I'm sure folks that are watching right now or listening who have come to our events, you know, Mackenzie and I jumped into this race for the United States Senate because, like your listeners and viewers, we want our three boys, Theodore, Bennett, and Harrison, to grow up in a country that lives up to the ideals of our founding, a country that is based on merit and opportunity, not one that is riven by the divisions that we see thrown at us by the left and their political agenda, namely in the form of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I tell people all the time, we don't need a country that is built on DEI. We need a country that is built on merit, excellence, intelligence, and integrity. So as I think about the platform of the United States Senate, it's a place in which you can talk about the ideals of our founding. It's a place in which you can ensure that the issues that are plaguing our people, that we address those. So keeping more money in your pocket, important. Energy independence, low-cost, reliable energy through coal, natural gas, and nuclear is what I want to focus on. Prescription drug costs, getting those down. Want to focus on that. Standing firm for our law enforcement community. That has been a strength of my track record, and I'm going to continue to do that in the United States Senate. Immigration, making sure we get illegals out of this country because we have to have the rule of law in this country. And someone who's going to stand up for the America First agenda and speak truthfully and boldly on the issues that are confronting our country. And certainly would be an honor to have those that are watching and listening have your help and support in this race on May 19th.
Thank you, Daniel. And of course, what you just mentioned there, we're going to unpack in a little more detail. I'll give you more opportunity to speak to those things in greater length. So first topic is homeland security. Big issue. You talk about this from a number of angles. The candidates have talked about it from a number of perspectives, from securing the southern border to the deportation of criminal illegal immigrants and ICE funding. So there's a lot there. If you could speak to your thoughts on homeland security.
I think as a conservative and someone who has ideology consistent with the America First agenda, we've got to get back to law and order in this country. And that means respecting our law enforcement community. Look, I took a very strong stance for law enforcement back in 2020. As a lot of your listeners and viewers know, we had a pretty intense investigation in Louisville. And we had a lot of folks that were protesting on our front lawn and threatening to burn our house down. Mm-hmm. But I made the courageous stand to stand firm for law enforcement and the rule of law. And that's what I'm going to do in the United States Senate. I'm going to stand up and say truthfully and boldly that if you're here illegally, you got to go back home. That's about respecting the rule of law. If you have committed a crime and you are here illegally, got to go back home. If you are just here illegally, you got to go back home because, again, it is about respecting the rule of law in this nation. I think we got to fund ICE and we got to fully fund CBP. There's no question about that. And the end of the games. I mean, we are done with the games, especially in light of what we saw the White House Correspondents' Dinner this past weekend. Let's fund DHS. Let's fund the Secret Service. Let's make sure that when it comes to protecting President Trump or protecting our southern border, we get that done. The American people expect safety in their communities. And they want somebody that's going to stand up for law enforcement. And again, I've got a track record of doing that, and I'll be ready on day one to speak boldly and truthfully on this.
Very good. Daniel, I'm going to bounce to various issues. The next issue of great importance to Kentuckians is the Second Amendment. What is your position on the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms?
Well, look, I am honored to have an A rating from the NRA. Certainly grateful for their willingness to say, hey, Daniel's got our seal of approval. I know there are other organizations out there. In fact, I'm going to be talking to the National Association of Gun Rights later today and hoping to have their support in this race. The bottom line is this. I've got a lot of people that are endorsers of this campaign, whether it's Savannah Maddox or TJ Roberts, who have all demonstrated their strength on the Second Amendment. Part of the reason they've endorsed me is because they know I'm going to be strong on the Second Amendment and not support any red flag laws. I've made that painstakingly clear. The Second Amendment has to mean something, and I'm going to stand firm for it. As I did as Attorney General, I will do that in the United States Senate as well.
Very good. Another big topic here in the Commonwealth and really across the country is healthcare. What would you say are the biggest challenges facing healthcare at this time?
Oh, and we got to take a step back. And a lot of folks that are listening or watching right now will know that, you know, during the Obama presidency, he went around telling people that if you liked your healthcare, you could keep it and we're going to lower premiums. And most of the people watching or listening right now know that's not the truth. No, that's not the case. We've seen premiums sometimes double, sometimes triple. We know that a lot of times you're not able to keep your doctor or the provider that you were going to simply because of how insurance is working now. The system has to change and it has to be fixed. And what I've been so proud of in terms of the Trump administration and President Trump is they are attuned to this fact and are working to get something done. So you think of Trump RX and the idea that we would try to lower prescription drug costs simply by negotiating with the through the executive branch with some of these pharmaceuticals to lower those costs. I think that's a great step in the right direction. And I think a lot of folks that are watching and tuning in right now understand that a lot of our healthcare costs are driven by the fact that prescription drugs have gone through the roof. One of the things I think I can do in the United States Senate to advance the America First agenda on this point is let's look at the middlemen. They're referred to as the middlemen, but a lot of your people watching right now know that these people are what's called pharmacy benefit managers, PBMs. And in a lot of ways, they have helped contribute to the increase in prescription drug costs. And they've also pushed out a lot of independent pharmacists because they not only are charged with monitoring prescription drug prices, but they also have connection to some of the big box pharmacy chain stores that are out there. And what they do is when you as an independent pharmacist are trying to acquire a drug so that you can provide it to folks in your community, they aren't reimbursing you at the same rate that you paid for that drug as an independent pharmacist. So it's an untenable situation. It cannot last. And I want to be the champion in the United States Senate that fights for what is referred to as the Pharmacist Fight Back Act. It brings accountability to the PBM process. It reforms that process. So hopefully we can get prescription drugs down in that regard as well and work alongside President Trump and the Trump RX effort to get those drug prices down and hopefully lower overall healthcare costs too.
Very good. The next topic, Daniel, is the sanctity of human life. And there are two questions here. What is your position on abortion? And then what is your position on medically assisted suicide?
Well, on life, I mean, obviously, I've stood very strong for life over the course of my career in public service. When I was the attorney general and the Dobbs decision came down, my office was charged with, and we undertook our responsibility. We didn't shy away from it. We undertook our responsibility to defend that law. And because of the effort and work of our office, we are protecting life in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. The thing that I think a lot of people have started to pay attention to, and which is what I think I can offer in the United States Senate, I know Senator Josh Hawley has an effort on it right now, is we're actually seeing an uptick in chemical abortions. And why that occurred is during the Biden administration, they basically got rid of the regulations that require that you see a doctor before you get any sort of medication. That has allowed for a lot of these, what I would refer to as fly-by-night providers, to circumvent state law and to ship into state chemical abortion drugs. And the big thing here is these drugs, and there's plenty of data to back this, are harming women. And in some instances, they find themselves in places where they're not able to get medical care, and it is causing serious concern. I know the FDA has looked into it, and I know that Josh Hawley, Senator Hawley, is been committed to fighting on this effort as well. I want to stand firm with him. And I think at the very least, we've got to restore those regulations to ensure that women aren't being harmed in this process. That is critical to where we are in the life space, is protecting women from these chemical abortions that are harming them. And then on the other side with assisted suicide, I find obviously what we hear related to that in Canada and other places very disturbing. And I think as a senator, I've got to ensure that, you know, we've got committee hearings that we are studying the effects of this. And it has to, in my judgment, never come to the United States or never be a national policy of the United States. And I'm going to fight against it.
Very good. Next topic is fraud and abuse. Kentucky Auditor Allison Ball recently testified before the House Oversight Committee. She's in front of Jamie Comer's committee, first district congressman here in Kentucky. And she said that her staff uncovered over $1 billion in mismanaged funds, including $836 million in duplicate Medicaid payments. And here are a few examples of some of the fraud that she found, or gross mismanagement. She found that dead people remained on Kentucky Medicaid. Multiple people used the same Social Security numbers to obtain Medicaid, and ineligible non-citizens received Medicaid benefits. Now, that list is a little bit longer, but those are some of the high points. So of course, she is a state official. You're running for a federal position representing Kentucky in the U.S. Senate. And I know that there are different areas of responsibility there, but the question is, what would you do if you were elected at the federal level to rein in abuse like this?
Well, one, work with the Trump administration to look for ways in which, you know, if there are Medicaid dollars that are being wasted, ensuring that, you know, we've got watchdogs that are within the administration that are figuring that out and holding those people accountable when it is appropriate. So I'll work with the administration on that. I mean, you know, look, obviously, what Auditor Ball uncovered, but also look at what happened in Minnesota and Minneapolis with this group of Somalian folks that were basically using resources from the federal government to open these daycare centers. I know how to spell learning, and it's not leering. I think it's probably the best way to say it. And they were funneling dollars into these daycare centers, and they weren't taking care of kids. That is a waste. That is abuse, and folks need to be held accountable in that situation. They need to be held accountable here if there are things that are uncovered that demonstrates that there was waste or fraud. And I obviously trust Auditor Ball to get to the root of that in particular. But in Washington, what you can do, and Jamie Comer, Congressman Comer, is a great example of this, is you can bring these people under the spotlights of the United States Senate in the committee room and put them there and ask them these tough questions. We saw it happen with Governor Walz in Minnesota on the Somali fraud. And so, you know, part of my responsibility is to be a watchdog for the taxpayers here in Kentucky, and I will certainly commit to that effort.
Danielle, I want to continue on with this. You brought up Minnesota, and Minneapolis was in the news just a couple days ago. There was a federal raid on 22 local agencies that were receiving various federal benefits. They're suspected of being involved with fraud. And here's the question. Apparently, it's been widely known for years that there was fraudulent activity, whether it's a daycare center or food programs, what have you, but nothing was done about it. And here's the question. Do you think that this contributes to the frustration and maybe the disillusionment with our federal government and their competency and capability to, I mean, truly help people where they need to be helped? But they're talking about it's up to $9 billion in fraud that's taken place over a significant number of years. And, you know, to have that go on and nobody to speak out. Or to look, it took a college student with a cell phone going to these actual daycare centers and finding out that there's no kids there, and they're actually listed as receiving federal funds. And I realize there's a lot here, but I think there are different ways to talk about it and different considerations for political candidates like yourself. But speak to this. How does it go on for so long? And is this the kind of thing that's undermining credibility of the federal government with the voters?
Well, Richard, it's infuriating to, you know or at least people have some sense that this was going on for so long and no one was willing to do anything about it. Yeah. I mean, that's the frustration that I think most Kentuckians and frankly, most Americans have when it comes to government, is that they don't see government working. President Trump is trying to change that. I mean, he came in within the first 100 days and got rid of a bunch of DEI stuff and said that, you know, we're going to promote coal and again, and we're going to make this country great again, or usher in a golden age in this country. And so he is a president and has an administration that's on the move. But before him, frankly, there was just a lot of stagnant, there was nothing happening within Washington. And I think people have been historically frustrated by that. And I think this is a very obviously telling example of the fact that, you know, this could have been unearthed or uncovered a long time ago, and it simply wasn't. And a lot of Americans scratch their head and say, why is that not happening sooner? Now, again, we've got a president and an administration and an investigative unit at the FBI and with the Department of Justice that is pushing and moving, and we're seeing accountability. But you've got to continue to have a strong leadership like that in the White House. You've got to have someone in the Senate that is just as doggedly persistent about rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse. And I'm going to try to ensure that you have another voice from Kentucky that is that watchdog and that is that advocate for making sure that our taxpayer dollars are spent in a way that reflects respect for the taxpayer. And my ultimate goal is, look, let's get more of the money back to people at home. Like, let's keep it from the bureaucrats in Washington, because a lot of times we see that there's duplication of efforts, there's duplication of programs. And that was the whole thing about USAID, is that funding things that Kentuckians and Americans didn't like. Yeah. Trump got rid of that. And so you need somebody in the Senate that's going to stand with President Trump on that front, and I will.
Very good. Daniel, the election is just a couple weeks away. Tuesday, May the 19th is actual
election day. Yeah, I know that. You know?
Early, I know, right? It's not like your schedule's not telling you that, right? But early voting begins a few days before that. So yeah, things are heating up. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to respond to the attack ads. There was one recently aired by a group called Kentucky PAC. I'm not sure who's supporting it, but there are a lot of outside dollars coming into Kentucky with these political action committees, and they're flooding the airwaves with various attacks. And I thought it'd be helpful to the viewers to hear from you some of the charges being made against you. So here's one of the ads being run by the group Kentucky PAC. And this is what they say, and I quote, "Daniel Cameron partnered with the ACLU to end cash bail and put criminals back on the streets. Cameron proudly joined with the radical left to reduce penalties for drug crimes. And while President Trump was deporting illegal immigrants, Cameron's law firm was defending them." Any truth to that?
No. Look, these were attacks that were tried in the governor's race against me. They were tried in the governor's primary by another opponent in that race. And I think some of the same strategists and people that were working on that person's campaign are working on Congressman Barr's campaign. So it's not surprising that they tried the exact same thing that they tried and failed in the governor's primary. And everybody knows this is a very silly attack on me. There's no question that when it comes to who is the law and order candidate in this race, it's me. I've got over 100 law enforcement officials, 100 law enforcement officials who've already endorsed my campaign. And every day we're adding law enforcement folks. And I don't know many law enforcement officials or folks that are working the beat or work in neighborhoods or patrolling, frankly, that aren't supporting or helping in this effort because they know I'm going to stand with them. And I think any notion otherwise is silly. I've been to the White House and sat two seats away from President Trump to talk in support of law enforcement. I had protesters on our front lawn simply because I was willing to make a courageous decision and stand firm for law enforcement. I've had death threats because of the decisions that I made as Attorney General to stand for law enforcement and the rule of law. And so anything to suggest otherwise is completely laughable. I sued the Biden administration on his immigration policies because I'm a strong supporter of ensuring that we have a secure southern border. I'm going to keep standing up for truth and speak boldly on the issues that are, and I'm not going to get in the mudslinging. That's for other candidates. And frankly, I think a lot of people that are watching or listening to this right now are tired of the politics as usual and want somebody that's going to fight for them. And that's what I'm committed to.
There was a professor at the University of Louisville by the name of Ricky Jones who wrote an opinion piece in the Courier Journal. And I'm going to quote, says, "Daniel Cameron is Kentucky status Republican Senate candidate. He's the polished corporate spokesperson for anti-black backlash politics, and his message is clear. Don't worry, I'll protect the white status quo in Kentucky and beyond." I know that's an offensive statement, but I wanted to get it out there and give you a chance to respond.
Well, Richard, the maybe surprising or unsurprising thing for a lot of your your listeners and viewers is that this is not the first time that these sorts of attacks have been levied, leveled against me. I mean, this is something that if you are a Black Republican, Black conservative, these are the sorts of things that you endure if you decide to get into the public arena. What I have am certain of, and what I lean on, is that my identity is not in the title, or wasn't in the title of Attorney General. And if I'm given the opportunity to serve as the next United States Senator from Kentucky, my identity won't be there. My identity is as a Christ follower. So what is a constant for me, despite what people might say about me, is that relationship with Christ, my firm commitment to our Constitution, as I did when I was the Attorney General, and as I will do when I'm the next United States Senator. And here's something else to note, is that when I spoke on behalf of President Trump at the RNC convention in 2020, you'll remember during that time, Joe Biden said something to the effect of, if you don't vote for me, you ain't Black. Mm-hmm. And my response was very simple, is that I'm my own man, my mind is my own, and I stand firm in commitment to the values of this Commonwealth, to the constitutional rights of our citizens, and I'm going to take that to the United States Senate, regardless of what people say about me.
Very good. Very good.
You recently appeared on KET Kentucky Tonight. Your top opponents did not. Andy Barr declined. So did Nate Morris. You were the single guys, the only guy on the platform. Do you think that this helped or hurt that you joined Renee Shaw on Kentucky Tonight?
Oh, I think it was a great opportunity. Look, I've told people over the course of this campaign, I'm willing to go anywhere and talk to anybody and have a conversation about my ideas. I mean, Paul writes in Scripture, you know, some people are going to receive you well and then others won't. But at the end of the day, you shake the dust off your sandals and you move on to the next town. And that's been our motto, is to just keep pushing, keep working. And I, you know, whether I'm in Trimble County, as I was a couple of nights ago, or in LaGrange, as I was yesterday morning, my message stays the same. When I was in the West End of Louisville about a month or so ago, my message is the same. I'm going to fight for the Commonwealth, and I'm going to stand firm for constitutional rights and common sense values. And I was delighted to have, frankly, 30 minutes of airtime to be able to go back and forth with Renee and talk about the issues that a lot of Kentuckians care about.
Yeah, very good. We are running out of time. We'll try to squeeze this in.
Absolutely.
What is your position on tariffs?
I support the America First agenda. It's brought trillions of dollars to this country, $200 billion in revenue through the tariffs. We've seen $2.5 billion in Mercer County related to Corning Glass. We've seen $2 billion worth of continued investment at the Ford plant here in Louisville, securing 2,200 jobs. That's because of the Trump economic agenda, and I support it.
Very good. How about data centers? This is a huge issue across the country. Data centers are necessary to develop artificial intelligence. What are your thoughts on that?
Data centers have got to be done by the will of the people in the community. I mean, you look at Oldham County, decided one way. Hancock County decided they wanted it. And so it definitely has to be done based on the will of the people. And the ratepayer, meaning the residents of a neighborhood, should not see an increase in their energy price because that data center comes. That cost needs to be borne by the data center. They need to pay for the infrastructure as well. Now, those are just, in my judgment, things that when you're at the negotiating table, have to be a must for any community. There's billions of dollars in profit that these data centers have. They can afford to do that.
Very good. Next topic is education. Do you support abolishing the federal Department of Education?
Well, President Trump is already working on scaling back the Department of Education. I support, you know, that effort. Education at the end of the day has to be back at the local community. And we've got, you know, obviously the role of the state should, in my view, be larger and bigger than what we see coming from the federal government in terms of education opportunity and the infrastructure that's in place to help our kids grow and learn. And so I'm certainly about making sure we're getting as many resources and ensuring that when it comes to education, that is essentially controlled by the state.
Sure. Student loan debt is another pressing issue. There's about $1.8 trillion, that's trillion with a T, held by approximately 43 million Americans. The question is does the federal government have responsibility in steering students away from taking on so much debt?
Well, I certainly think education is important in terms of the debt that you might incur if you go to some of these four-year universities or you're looking at doctoral programs or master's programs. So there has to be education and information related to that so that students can make wise decisions. And then I also think we've got to be mindful of and encourage people to look at trades. I mean, we talked about AI a little bit. What we're always going to need is plumbers. We're always going to need welders. We're always going to need people that can work on the robots. And so I encourage people to look at our trades, and we need to certainly encourage more trade work in light of the economic changes that this country is undergoing.
Very good. I'm going to squeeze two questions in here and very brief answers from you, if we could. And then you'll have 2 minutes for a closing statement. So school choice, what's your position on that?
I support education opportunity for all kids. And I think we need to have a holistic approach to education.
Very good. And then last question, and then we'll give you time for your closing statement. Do you believe the Senate should eliminate the filibuster?
I'm done with the zombie filibuster, and I support President Trump and think that we need to institute the talking filibuster. Let's go back to Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. If you care about something deeply, let's talk about it. But after you finish talking, let's vote on it.
Very good. Daniel Cameron, we are out of time, but you do have 2 minutes for a closing statement and make a pitch to the viewers as to why you should be the next U.S. Senator for Kentucky.
Well, Richard, it's always a pleasure to be with you. And I know I've spent a lot of time with your viewers and listeners over the years, and it's an honor. And let me just ask plainly as I can for your support on May 19th in the United States Senate primary for the Republican nomination. It'd be a great honor to have your help. I'm in this race for the same reasons that you care about it, which is for our kids and our grandkids, to ensure that this is a country in which they can continue to achieve anything that they put their minds to. And it's based on merit and opportunity. That is what I'm fighting for. That's what I know you care about, to ensure that the ideals and the values that you grew up with, that is represented in the United States Senate. Let me say this, that in these races, it can be challenging to speak truthfully and boldly, but I'm going to continue to do that. In John 16, Jesus talks about, in verse 33, he speaks specifically about the fact that in this world, we will have trouble. And I think we all as believers recognize and understand that. But what he says next is, I think, of most importance. He says, but take heart. And some versions say, but be of good cheer. Yeah. I have overcome the world. And this is Jesus speaking. And I think we can all take heart in the fact that he has overcome the world, and we can speak truthfully and boldly on the issues that are plaguing our country. I'm going to continue to do that all the way through May 19th and on May 20th and into November, because you deserve someone in Washington that is going to stand firm for our values, going to speak truthfully and boldly on the issues this great Commonwealth and country are facing. It'd be an honor to have your help. God bless you.
Former Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron, thank you so much for joining us. May God bless you, and best wishes to you on the campaign trail.
Thank you, Richard.